Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I'd like to tell you about a paper that's been published recently by a senior Russian economist who stated that he believes that the mobilization that was called recently by President Putin will be the turning point in this war. It's the before and after event. And he believes that the consequences of this mobilization will be truly catastrophic for Russia, will lead to the death of the Russian economy and the fall of President Putin's regime. So these are all really bold statements, and they're coming from a guy who's based in Moscow. So he's not fled the country, he's not writing this from a desert island somewhere. He's actually still in Moscow, and he's published this paper for the whole world to see. So in today's episode, I'll tell you a little bit more about this economist so you can check out his credentials and make a decision for yourself as to whether or not you believe what he's saying. We'll have a look at the mobilization and why he thinks that it's going to be so disastrous. We'll look at how it's going to be affected in villages and cities and what the impact of mobilization is going to be on employment and GDP for Russia. We'll also have a look at the impact on investment, on parallel imports and future sanctions, and then talk about the potential response from the Russian people to everything that's going on right now. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Russia over the next 3 to 6 months, whether or not I agree with the statements that are being made in this paper, and then what the implications of this will be for Russia's economy and the global economy as a whole. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm on a push to try to get to 200,000 subscribers. So if you could help, I'd really appreciate that. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if you haven't got time to watch the whole video, you can skip over things. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. Vladislav Inozemtsev is a 53-year-old academic who holds a PhD in economics from Moscow State University. After graduating from university, he spent 11 years working in a variety of Russian banks and eventually was promoted to the role of chairman of the management committee at Moscow Paris Commercial Bank. After leaving banking, he founded the Center for Post-Industrial Society Studies based in Moscow and has also been involved in work with the Communist Journal and the Russian Federation Supreme Soviet. Over the past 20 years, he's published more than 1,150 articles on the Russian economy. He also serves as the chair for the World Economy and International Trade, is involved in Moscow State University's School of Public Governance, is a professor at the National Research University Higher School of Economics, is a member of the Council on Foreign and Defense Policy, and is a member of the Russian International Affairs Council. So this is a highly educated, experienced individual who spent all of his time living and working in Russia, has a doctorate in economics from Russia, and focuses all of his time on the Russian economy. So definitely somebody who's qualified to make comments about the potential implications of what's going on right now on the Russian economy. This paper identifies mobilization as being the key problem that will turn the people of Russia against President Putin and against this war. And the paper states that the mobilization announced on September the 21st became a milestone that truly divided modern Russian history into before and after, an event that began the final countdown of the Putin era. So to put this into context, up until the point when the mobilization was announced, the war in Ukraine was deemed a special military operation that was being handled by all of the existing military. So there was no reason for any of the public to become concerned that this could ever escalate into a situation where they would be drafted in and forced to go and fight in Ukraine. So the turning point of announcing a mobilization has really shocked the people of Russia. And it's changed from something that was happening in Ukraine that didn't really affect their lives to something that potentially could mean that the husbands and fathers and sons of all of the families may get called up and be forced to go over to Ukraine. Now, in terms of the size of mobilization and how it's going to be affected, the paper makes some specific comments. The official statement was that 300,000 reservists would be called up. So these reservists are people who've actually signed up for the military in the past. They've undertaken some training, they've done some service, and they're now in reserve. And these people are usually the first point of call if you want to bolster your reserves. However, the paper indicates that this isn't how things are being handled. According to the authorities, 300,000 people are expected to be drafted into the army, mainly from those who have military specialities and experience with a strict age limit after they receive summons from the military registration and enlistment offices. According to ordinary people, the quotas for certain areas of the central regions of Russia reach 800 people, and a number of regions are supposed to call up to 20,000. And this confirms the leaks about the real task to send a million or even 1.2 million people to the troops. Summons come to people of various ages, levels of education, and military registration. And the National Guard have begun wholesale raids on men, stopping them in the street, in the subways, or at stationary points of the traffic police. These peculiarities of national mobilisation will cause truly catastrophic consequences for the domestic economy. So what the paper's saying here is that rather than the mobilisation just focusing in on reservists who've signed up for their military service, it's actually taking the form of a conscription. So the National Guard of Russia are turning up in regions with the intention of recruiting a certain number of people. And they're doing this by literally grabbing people off the street and forcing them to sign up to go and fight in Ukraine. Now, Russia is a very large country geographically. It has a lot of land. And so the population is split between the cities, where you have dense population, and then the rural areas and villages. And the paper goes on to talk about how the mobilisation is affecting both the villages and the cities. In terms of the rural areas, the paper states, "Today it is clear that the authorities want to treat the population like cattle. In remote areas, rural areas and small towns, examples have already been seen where half the male population is brought to assembly points for some villages. This means that the already long stagnating local economy will be on the verge of collapse. Thousands of families will be left without income and local, medium and small businesses will simply die out." So once again, this concept of the mobilisation being a call up of reservists doesn't seem to be playing out in the rural areas in Russia. In fact, this is your worst case scenario from a civilian perspective, where vans are turning up at villages and small towns and taking away up to half of all of the young men in that area. And as the paper states, a lot of these areas have been struggling anyway. These are subsistence communities where you're growing food and then eating that food with maybe some small income on top. If you take away half of the workforce who are actually involved in agriculture and industry in those areas, then that will not only kill off the economy, but potentially could kill off all of the people if they don't have enough food to be able to live on. Now, in terms of the problems with mobilisation in the cities, the paper identifies an entirely different issue. The concept of workers not wanting to join up and actually trying to go on the run. The paper states, in large cities, another factor comes into play. Unlike obedient villagers, advanced residents of megacities do not want to fertilise the Ukrainian black soil with themselves. And tens of thousands of them have already gone on the run. And to be clear, we're not talking about those who've stormed the border points looking to leave the country. People are avoiding living at their place of registration, and the number of men in the centre of regional cities on weekdays has decreased several times, and movement between regions has also sharply decreased. We've not yet returned to the times of COVID quarantines, but everything is moving towards that. So what we're hearing here is that people are talking with their feet. They don't want to be called up to go and fight in Ukraine. And rather than waiting for somebody to turn up at your house or at your place of employment, a lot of individuals have disappeared and are on the run. They want to hide away from all of this conscription and hope that this war disappears before they eventually get caught. In terms of the impact on employment and GDP, the paper is even more scathing. And it specifically identifies those individuals who are moving away from their home, but are continuing to go to work because they need to keep earning money. It's worth assuming that in the coming days, the military will calculate people are not at their place of registration, but are actually at their place of work. And this will be the strongest blow to the economy. Several million people will prefer to quit their jobs rather than joining the army. And in large cities, the efficiency of economic entities is higher than in rural areas, which means that the loss of even a few employees can cause a disproportionate loss to the company. The temporary disappearance of at least 3 to 4 million people from the legal labour market will not go unnoticed. So essentially what he's saying here is that as soon as the military start turning up at people's place of employment to conscript people, that news will spread all across Russia and it's likely that we could see up to 4 million people leaving their jobs and fleeing to avoid being conscripted. And that could have a massive impact on the economy, because these are not just farmhands, and you're not just losing one day of productivity when you take that individual out of the workplace. These are senior people, experienced people, highly educated people. They're the ones who are looking to avoid all of the army conscription. And Russia simply can't afford to lose millions of these sort of workers at this point in time. The economy is already under immense pressure because of the sanctions, and we've already seen a major brain drain. It's been reported that at least 500,000 people have fled the country over the last 7 months. And this essentially is speeding up that process. This mobilization threat is causing a lot of people to be worried and decide that they want to walk away from their home and their job just to avoid being sent to Ukraine and potentially getting killed. In terms of the potential impact on GDP, this is where the paper really starts to focus in on the death of the economy, and the forecasts are really pessimistic. It seems to me that if before mobilization it was possible to say that the Russian GDP would fall by 4 to 5% this year, now my spring forecast of a 10% fall seems almost overly optimistic. So what this states is that the forecast fall in GDP for 2022 is now likely to be more than 10%. And this compares to the previous forecast of a positive growth of 6% for 2022. Russia had a very successful 2021, and the forecast that everybody was expecting for 2022 was that that growth would continue. So there's a massive swing between the expected increase of 6% and a fall of more than 10%. That is a massive amount of GDP to lose and to try to make up going forward. In terms of trying to quantify exactly how large the fall will be this year, the paper states, I would venture to suggest that in October, the GDP indicator for the whole country will decrease by at least 4 to 6% compared to August, and the following months will only consolidate this trend. So he's expecting GDP to continue falling month on month and for that trend to accelerate. In terms of the outlook for next year, the paper states investments will also begin to decline sharply, which will set a trend for 2023, in which I would now certainly lower the forecast for a decline in GDP of 7 to 8%. And all of this does not take into account the effect of the inevitable wave of new sanctions that will be announced. So what we're seeing here is a forecast fall of more than 10% in this year and another 8% in 2023. And the compounding effect of those two falls will be absolutely devastating for the Russian economy. Now, two further issues that the paper identifies are the market for parallel imports and the extension of the MIR payment system that Russia has been rolling out to certain countries. Now, in terms of parallel imports, we've covered this before on other videos. The sanctions that have been applied against Russia means that it's unable to access a variety of different technology. And the Russian authorities responded to this by legalizing parallel imports. So essentially, they sent a message to all other countries around the world that if you're prepared to sell us that technology directly, then we will allow that as a legal import. So a good example of this is the Apple iPhone. So if the Apple iPhone is banned in Russia, the Russian authorities have said, if you want to import Apple iPhones from another country, then we will allow that and we will ignore any legal action that Apple tries to bring against Russia because we've changed the laws and we're now allowing the sale of Apple iPhones in Russia even if Apple don't want to sell them. And this change of law was seen as being a really clever way for Russia to be able to access future technology even in the event of the sanctions. However, the paper states that parallel imports, on which the Kremlin has so far placed high hopes, may be blown away by both the accompanying mobilization of border closures and by new financial restrictions, such as the suspension of MIR cards in some countries. In general, I would say that the medium term, within 3 to 5 month financial effects of mobilization, will be significantly more significant than the consequences of the outbreak of war in Ukraine. So the closure of the border issue really picks up on the fact that the EU has now banned the entrance of all Russians who no longer have visas. And therefore, it's going to be very difficult for the Russian citizens to be able to travel to other cities, buy lots of technology and bring it back. And if they're no longer able to do that, then that's going to put a big question mark over whether or not the parallel import concept that Russia's relying on to get lots of technology into the country is actually going to be practical. And the statement with regards to the Mercards is really interesting because Russia have been rolling this out as a competitor to Visa and MasterCard, and it's been taken up by a number of countries. However, companies in countries like Turkey have recently stopped using the Mercards because they're being threatened with secondary sanctions by the West. So they don't want to lose all of their existing trade with the West in exchange for setting up some small amount of business with Russia. So this is another really interesting factor, that the secondary sanctions are now starting to feed through and Russia is feeling that pain. Another major consequence that's been highlighted is the potential for an increase in corruption. The transition of the economy to wartime regime will dramatically increase the scale of corruption, and this will seriously undermine any business initiative. In addition, mobilization is a very expensive thing and means that the authorities are focused on continuing the war indefinitely. It is no coincidence that in parallel with the appointment of referendums in the occupied territories and the announcement of mobilization, tax raises are being considered on basic industries. The Kremlin intends to collect almost 1.4 trillion rubles from fees and duties on the export of energy products alone, and on the growth of social payments, which are forecast to increase by more than 15% from the beginning of 2023. So this paper raises a lot of issues, but the potential increase in corruption is really bad news for the general population of Russia, because Russia has been trying to move towards more of a capitalist society and trying to become more open. And the fact that it's now potentially going to be pushed back towards the old style operation is really not healthy for a capitalist environment. And this will discourage any future investment in the country. Overseas multi-international companies are very unlikely to want to ever go back to Russia to set up operations if there's a higher level of corruption than there's been in the past. And the comments with regards to the taxation is obviously bad news for the citizens of Russia, because somebody is going to have to pay for this war, and it looks like it's going to be all of the people. Now, in terms of the potential ending of President Putin's regime, the paper states, "It is the broad women's revolution that will become the biggest threat to power in the context of the ongoing war in Ukraine. Men in Russia in significant numbers have long lost their sense of self-preservation and the ability to stand out from the herd mass, but women instinctively feel what a terrifying future the bald Kremlin dwarf has prepared for them." With his decision to mobilize, Putin announced the termination of the existing contract with the country. "Today it's become clear that on the one hand, the population no longer has personal freedoms, which for more than 20 years the Kremlin has guaranteed, and on the other hand, slavish obedience to power and non-interference in politics does not provide any economic growth. 2 years ago I spoke about how the 2020s would be a time of terror and pure authoritarianism for Russian power, suggesting that such tools of dominance could help Putin rule throughout the decade. Today this forecast has to be changed. Madness has reached a scale that cannot be maintained even for several years. The Russian economy, I wrote in early March, will die by winter, and now I think I was right." So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to share this paper with you because it's been prepared by a leading academic in Russia, and this is a guy who spends all of his time looking at the Russian economy. And his summary of events is really very scathing. He thinks that the mobilization is the turning point in this war. It's changed now from being a special military operation that had no relevance to most people's lives to being something that's causing a lot of concern and even terror on the streets of Russia. Now, I can't say for sure whether or not the reports in this paper of people being taken off the street and forced to go and fight in Ukraine are correct. But I can tell you that this is somebody who's highly educated, highly qualified, and highly respected. So there has to be a chance that what he's saying is true. And if that is true, then this is entirely shocking for the people of Russia and isn't something that I would wish on anybody. Nobody in their right mind wants to be taken out of their family life, out of their work life, and being given a gun and told to go and fight in Ukraine for something that they may not believe in. But in terms of the economic implications of all of this for Russia, it's really quite dire. Because even if those people are not conscripted, the fact that a lot of people are now fleeing from their jobs and their home lives means that a lot of businesses in Russia are going to be impacted. And the more people that you take out of a business, the less productive it becomes. And this is at a time when Russia is already struggling with the sanctions. So Russian businesses have already lost a lot of their trade. And to lose some of their key people at the same time, it's going to cause an implosion internally at the same time as all of your external external markets are disappearing. So that's bad news for all of those companies. And the overall impact of that on Russia is going to be absolutely devastating. This is going to be a massive blow to the Russian economy. Now, Russia have actually stopped publishing any data, so we don't get to see what's going on with regards to GDP on a monthly basis. And my gut feel on that situation is that Russia are not wanting to publish those figures because they look much worse than everybody's expecting. So I think this is already happening in Russia. I think we're already seeing double-digit fall in GDP. And who knows how bad it will get. It could get absolutely disastrous. It could be way more than 10% that GDP falls this year. And this paper's forecasting that the fall next year could be as bad as 7 or 8%. So when you add those two figures together, this is setting Russia back decades in terms of their growth. So this is absolutely disastrous. And in terms of how long it will take Russia to recover, this paper is actually stating that this could be the death of the Russian economy. And I think there's a certain logic behind that, because if you lose all of your good people, if you lose all of your good companies, if you lose the confidence of all of the population, then where do you go from there? How do you rebuild that? If it's a situation where corruption is going to start increasing, then you get a breakdown in society, and you certainly get a breakdown in the economy, because people won't want to set up new businesses and work hard if they're going to see a lot of that money disappearing. So overall, this is a really damning report, and my gut feel on all of it is that there has to be an element of truth in here, that some of this has to ring true, and that the Russian economy is really in a state of crisis. And the next few months could prove to be absolutely disastrous, but the only issue is we may not hear about it because no data is being released anymore. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. You've found this paper to be interesting and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.